We have a principle to go where if a person is mispalel, it's an ace rotzayn, a favorable moment, like by a bris mila. When they do the bris mila, every time you go to a bris mila, the moil, a good moil, will say, Rabbi, now is an ace rotzayn. When you hear the baby cry, it's an ace rotzayn. Be mispalel. It's a zman when the tefillos, however this works, is mesugel to be accepted. Can be on the Yom Tov, on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. There are zmanim which is called an eis rotzayn. Ze l'uma ze boro elokim. There are moments in time when it's not a good time. And we're vulnerable. And rachmana litzlan, if we don't protect ourselves, not good things can happen. And that moment that's not such a good time is called a very, very short moment. It's a rega. It's whatever rega is. Whatever rega, I don't know what a rega is exactly. Is it a second? Is it 3 seconds? Whatever it is. And it is interesting that in Parashas Balak, there Balak, he knew how to calculate. Part of his technique, part of his success was Balak was the hiree, but Bilam had a technique. He was able to go and calculate the exact moment in time during the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, and he would exploit that moment in time. Here Hashem is saying, no need to exploit the time, I'll do it myself. In an instant, over here in the English, translated as an instant. What does it say over here in Rashi? Rashi teaches, no Rashi. You know the right pasuk here. I'm the right pasuk here. There's no Rashi, believe it or not. And isparashu migoi. Over here, Hashem isparashu means to separate. Migoi means from. Migoi means mitoich, from the inside. Kinishta hadah, this assembly. Ve'e sheitse yashoin, I will destroy. The word Eishetzei is a word that the Targum uses very often. He uses this word for many, 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 many different words. Like we always say, the Targum, he likes to simplify the Hebrew language and collect many words and put them and translate many words in the same translation. A simplification of the Hebrew language. And one of the favorite words he uses to simplify things is the word Ve'eishetzei, which means to destroy. But in Hebrew, there are many different words for destruction. There's Chorban, there is here, it's Va'achaleh, it's to consume. There is to break, is to shatter. There are many words, and for some reason, Targ Munkel, he likes very much to take all of those words and translate it with this very same word, ve'eishetzei, which means to destroy. Again, a basic principle in learning Unkelis is Unkelis simplifies the language. He takes the language, which has an X number of words, and he makes it X minus, less. He simplifies language by combining many words with giving you the same translation, which is a very interesting. We always talk about that's one of the definitely the centerpieces of Unkelis versus Rashi, or his role, simplification of the Hebrew language. Number two, to create a barrier between himself and between man and Hashem. And what other principles did we come up with? I don't remember anymore. We'll come across them. We have to write a sefer. We have to write a sefer of all of the yisoides that we take out of learning Chumash and Unkelis. Next pasuk chaf beis. Vayipilu al pneim vayemru. Now this, by the way, is one of the sources for tachanun. Okay, we've learned about tachanun so many times, Baruch Hashem. So I was thinking maybe we should learn tachanun this week because of this pasuk. Vayipilu al pneim, all of the sfarim that, you know, there's a certain category of sfarim which people like to write topics, and the topics are based upon the parsha. And a favorite topic for Parshas Korach, it appears in almost every one of these sfarim that I've come across, is Tachanun. This parsha, Parshas Korach, is the parsha of Tachanun because of this pasuk. Vayipilu al pneihem. Moshe and Aaron, they fell on their face. Vayemru, and they said, Kel Elokei haruchois l'chol basar, ho'ish echad yachetah. Can it be that one man sins? V'al kol ho'edah tiksoif? Moshe Rabbeinu, now, this is the third time at least that Moshe Rabbeinu comes to defend the Jewish people. He defended the Jewish people by the Cheto Egel. He defended them by the Meraglim. Both times Hashem said, we're going to destroy the entire assembly. And here again, it says there also the entire assembly. It says there also. Yeah. Okay. So it's the fourth time then. It's a lot to learn. There's a lot of musa to go and analyze exactly the differences. Very good that you told me that. I have to study that. I will destroy the Eda, the entire Eda. What does Moshe say? No. Hashem, it's not fear. It's not fear. Kel. Hashem, you are powerful. You are the Elohim. Here, Moshe is addressing Hashem by a new title. Not a new title. This title was used, will be used later in the Torah when Moshe asks Hashem to appoint a successor. And where is that? Where is that parasha to appoint the successor? That's someone Chumash Devarim. What parasha is that? I don't remember what parasha that is. Where Moshe says that I needed a successor. No, maybe we had it already. Do we have it already? Do we have this already in Parashas Bahaloitzcha? Parashas Nosoi? Where Hashem says, Yoshua Benun, Leimashu, that Moshe really wanted his children, Elozar, and Gershon, to be his successors. And Hashem said to Moshe, no, that's nepotism. I'm not going to allow you to appoint your children, Elozar and Gershon, to be your successors. Rather, your student, Yehoshua Benun, he is deserving. And there, Moshe began his plea to Hashem, Hashem Elokei Haruchois, with exactly the same words. Elokei Haruchois L'chol Basar. Hashem is the God of all spirits, for every flesh. What's the pshat? Because here, so...
Just Pinchas, by the way.
Later, Parash Pinchas.
The point of Yeshua is a Parash Pinchas.
And there Moshe is Mespalel, and he uses exactly the same exact term to describe Hashem. Hashem is described throughout Tanakh many, many different ways. There's a number of different names, different titles that Hashem has. Hashem wears many hats. Okay, I'm turning the parasha as Pinchas. Okay, let's go to the end of the parasha. End of the parasha. B'nai Slavchad. Here it is. After B'nai Slavchad, Moshe says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, came to the Chavayim, Vayomer Moshe Hashem Lemar. Yifgod Hashem, okay, it's in Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, okay, 27:16. Yifgod Hashem, may Hashem appoint. Who is Hashem? What is Hashem's title? He is Elokei Haruchois L'chol Basar. He is the God of all spirits, L'chol Basar. What a title, huh? Okay, what a title. We call Hashem, Hashem is Hagodol, Hagibor, Vihanoira, Hashem is Shakai, Hashem is Elokei Tzevakos, Hashem is the Odoin Hashem, Sholosh Po'omim Bashano Yerekol Zuchuchas Pnei Ha'odoin Hashem, the Master Hashem. There are many different titles that are used in Chumash to describe Hashem. Twice is Hashem described by the title Elokei Haruchois L'chol Basar. So obviously, I mean, you don't have to think very much, but these two are very, very much connected. Because here, they're coming to challenge the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was appointed to be the leader by the burning bush. And Parashas Pinchas, as Mr. Rappaport, he in his awesome Bekius of Chumash, he instantly pointed out where it's located. Mr. Rappaport, I don't know if you're as good as Tamari, though. You missed today a major feat. Tamari, yesterday in the shir. Where is the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Yehuda? And Tamari Apollo, without blinking an eyelash, said, 33, what was the pasuk? 33:9. And we open up the Devarim 33:9, and unbelievable, on the mark. She has this bracha, she's a holy neshama, she knows all these things. To every single pasuk, where it is. Just all the pasuk will tell you the number, chapter and verse, literally. But Mr. Rapport, you're not far behind. You got over here, the pasuk over here, and these are the two places where Moshe addressed Hashem with the same title. And what is the common denominator? The common denominator is they're both addressing leadership. Leadership. The people here are challenging the leadership of Moshe. And a Parashas Pinchas, Moshe is being mispelled for Hashem to appoint a new leader to succeed him. Why do we call Hashem in this role, in leadership, Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar? The answer is very, very simple. And that's because, Meir, I'm putting you on mute, you're making a lot of noise. And that's because, Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, that's because that a leader to his people is like a shidduch. It's ruchos. Ruchos, the spirit of every bosser. Man is called bosser v'dam. A human being is made of flesh and blood. Bosser. And in this flesh, there is a ruach. There is a neshama. There is a personality. A ruach is really more, in this context, it's personality. Let's say we would translate the word God, who is the God of personalities of every human being. You are the master of the human condition. And just like when it comes to a shidduch, you need the right shidduch. Every person needs the right. Every pot has its cover. Okay, if the cover doesn't fit, it's not going to seal. The dish is not going to taste good. You need the right cover for the right pot. Every two people, some people, they need someone. Sometimes a man needs a very strong woman. Sometimes a man needs a woman that's not as strong. And you all know this better than I do, a lot better than I do. The personalities have to click. And what's good for one person is not good for another person. When you have a leader and you have a community, you need the right leader for the right people. Every community has its own unique character, its own unique conditions, and you need the right rabbi for the right community. Just because a rabbi is an outstanding leader in one community, it doesn't mean he'll hold his job for a week in a different community. And it's a chaval. Sometimes you see there's a rabbi, the rabbi is not very successful. And if he would have been the rabbi later in life, he becomes a rabbi of a different community, he blossoms. That's because it's a shidduch. The people and the leader, it's a zivuk. Memela, we call, when we talk to Hashem regarding this situation, to appoint the right person for the job. The right person. It's not a matter of who's more qualified. Sometimes there are people that are not as qualified, but yet they'll grow into the position because they're the right person. So it's called, only Hashem knows the complexity of the human condition of each individual person. Hashem is the God, He's powerful, He's the God of all personalities of humanity. And only He knows who is the right person for the job. The people now think that Korach, he's the better leader. Let's get rid of Moshe and let's replace him with Korach. Only then will our community blossom and develop and become world famous. They're wrong. They're wrong because Hashem already saw the future. Hashem knows exactly what the people need. And Hashem recruited Moshe at the burning bush. Hashem did not recruit Korach. Okay, Korach was probably the same age as Moshe, I would assume. Okay, maybe he was a little bit younger. But Hashem at the burning bush, that was the same era. Why didn't Hashem appear to Korach and say, Korach, I got a job for you? No, Hashem appeared to Moshe. Why? Because Hashem is Elokei Haruchois L'chol Basar. Hashem knows in His infinite wisdom that if Korach would have been the leader from day one, it would have been a disaster. You have to be able to Ezel Chochom Horoyes HaNoilat. Okay, we have a country now. We have very big problems. I have a friend.
Rabbi Levine, I always wonder, let's say the people have gone along with Korach. What kind of a leadership would they have had? Moshe and Aaron, they're going to be displaced. So who's left? Korach is going to be the new Melech?
No one knows what would have been. No one knows what would have been. We have no idea how things would have played out. We can only speculate. Well, all we know right now is that Korach is insanely jealous of Moshe, and his behavior is irrational, and it's only due to outrageous jealousy. He imagines that he should have been the Gadol Hadar. We have no idea what would have been, and Hashem is ahead of them. Hashem says, you know, if I would have put Korach in, Hashem knows the future, Hashem knows this is what I select, this is what Klal Yisrael needs. So Moshe is using that terminology. Likewise, when Hashem, when Moshe wanted a new, a replacement for himself, who is the right? Only Hashem knows. Only Hashem knows who would be the, from a whole Klal Yisrael, 3 million people, who's the right person to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to look into the future. It's not just today. It's you know, they're gonna be difficult times ahead. And in those difficult times, you know, who's in charge would make an incredible impact. If Trump wasn't the president last term, they never would have overturned Roe versus Wade. Okay, they would not have appointed 3 conservative judges. Hashem knows the future. We think that we got stuck with the president. Now that has an approval rating that's lower than probably any president in American history, possibly. And we think, if only it would have been someone else. We don't know. We wouldn't know if there was another president. Maybe that president would make a foolish decision and bring the world into World War III. Who knows? No one knows nothing. We don't know nothing. Only Hashem knows. You do our best, you know, you make a decision, you do the best thing that you possibly can do to make the right decision. But when the day is over, Hashem calls the shots. Hashem is Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. Hashem is the one who is the master of personality traits and knows which one can be matched up with another. And Hashem now says, Moshe says to Hashem, why do you want to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael? Ha'ish Echad Yechalef, only one man sins. Who's the one man? Korach. V'al kol ho'edot tiktsef, you have to save me, you can destroy the entire nation. Rashi Pasuk Chavei says, okay, ha'duchos l'chol basar, yodea machashav. So I told you a drush. I'm not backing down from my drush. My drush, because this is an old drush. But over here, Rashi says, the pshut l'shol mikra. That's why you have to learn Rashi. Rashi is Ruach HaKodesh. Every single yesoid in life in Judaism is found in Chumash Rashi. It is such a shame that we don't spend more time in Chumash Rashi, and why children are not taught Chumash Rashi the way they should know it.
I found out today the Jewish press put out a insert, 5 or 6 page articles on the Lubavitcher Rebbe Oliver Shalom, whose yard site is Friday, the 3rd of Tammuz. So it'll be tomorrow, 1st, 2nd, on Shabbos. And one of the things I didn't realize, the Rebbe wrote a pirush specifically
on Rashi.
I didn't know that.
Rashi, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, most of his Torah, Rashi. He's known for that. Lubavitcher Rebbe has the most beautiful chidushim on Rashi. Chumash Rashi. It's
Sefer Rebbe, you have that Sefer?
I don't have the Sefer, no. I don't have the Sefer.
Cool. It begins with a B something, Barunim or something on Rashi. I want to get the Sefer because I have Taurus Menachem, which is what the Rebbe says on the
Sichon. It's a Chassid. Shal Daddy said, but he spoke on Shabbos. His main, all of his addresses were done on Shabbos. And they had a team. They had a team of people that were appointed to memorize. Because Shabbos, he can't record, he can't write. So they had geniuses. They were a team of people who were geniuses. And they sat the whole Shabbos by these very, very long sichos. He gave a drush like for 2-3 hours at least. And they memorized everything that he said. Mitzvah Shabbos, they all convened. And they reviewed, they reconstructed from memory what the Rebbe said on Shabbos, and they wrote it up. They wrote it up very, very well, and they gave it to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe edited what they wrote, made corrections, and they printed it. And now they have Likutei Sichos. But he wrote other things also. The Rebbe was super brilliant. And you know when he stopped doing this? There's a fascinating article about this. People don't know this, is that when the Rebbe's wife died, then two things happened. Number one, the sichos on Shabbos were very short. He cut them down like into a fraction of the time, and he never said anything new. Everything that he said from that time onward were reruns, things that he said in the past years. He stopped being mechadish. And that was a very shocking, so to the people, like the average person, they don't know the difference. What do they know? They anyway don't come to the Sichos on Shabbos. anyway, they just line up for the Dalbals. They don't know what's going on. But the people who were in his close circle, this was a simon muvok of, like, you know, you would say depression, you would say defeat, you'd say, I don't know what, you'd say, what type of medical terms you would use, and it goes to show what kind of marriage he had. That when his wife was alive, she was his inspiration. Okay, it's an amazing insight. Not every Rebbe had such a relationship with his wife like that. He would say often, it was famous in the Rakefet, always says over and over, I heard him say this at least 1,000 times. The Rebbe said, yeah.
I gave you one Shalach Manas, I gave you the Sefer Rashi from Lubavitcher.
Oh, I know where it is. I think I know where it is. That was from the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Yeah, that was from the Lubavitcher Rebbe?
Yeah, that was Lubavitcher's Rashi.
I gotta go look at it. I know
one
where
safer,
it is.
It's one Sefer. Well, safe. I came out very early.
Right. Maybe there are more volumes. Yes.
One section was on Rashi.
Maybe there are more Sram like that. His Torah, even the Likud Sichos, were a lot on Rashi. Rashi. That was
one Sicha, and every Fabrangian there was one Sicha on Rashi.
He had an affinity to Rashi.
Out, I thought it was five Sram.
Could
it
be?
Just one?
This is an old one. The Sefer is an old Sefer. The Rebbe said that a day without having tea with his wife, the Rebbe every day had tea with his wife. Every day for lunch, he came home and he had tea with his wife privately. And he said, Rakef had said this 1,000 times, he says this every day. A day without not having, a day that I don't have tea with my wife, it's like a day that I didn't put on tefillin. Now, you know, you talk about tefillin by Lubavitch. Okay? It's tamazoy for anyone to say, make such a statement, it's like, wow. Woo! For the Lubavitcher Rebbe to say, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who is the greatest promoter of the tefillin booths all over the world, for him to say that, that's already, like, you know, a different stratosphere. Okay, so over here, getting back to our sugya, Elokei Haruchas L'chol Basar. This, by the way, is the term, the title that the drush refers to shidduchim. The same way there's a shidduch between a rabbi and a community, two personalities. Okay, we're going back to Rashi. Rashi says pshat. Rashi, all these sayings of Rashi, this is a very fascinating concept, because in emunah in Hashem, people, we take it for granted. Every from Jew, from birth Jew, of course. Hashem is everything. Hashem is here. Hashem is here. Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, all around. Hashem is everywhere. Not only is Hashem everywhere, Hashem also, He knows what we're thinking. Any Ben Torah will live his life every single day. Hashem knows what I'm thinking. And, how come I do Averis? It's a kasha. But, you know, it's very frightening. When you come in contact with people that are doing teshuva, chayzer b'shuva or gerim, and you tell them that Hashem knows what you're thinking, they say, "What? Really? No, He doesn't. He doesn't know what I'm thinking." To bring Hashem into your life, to the degree where you accept as a given that Hashem knows what you're thinking. That's a very high madrega, because newcomers to religion, they don't accept that. They don't want to accept. They don't believe it. They don't live their life with that principle. Go ask all of our politicians today, our left wing politicians, and some of the right wing also. They don't believe in this. And when you learn Rashi, hidden in Rashi, embedded secretly in Rashi, without even realizing, is every single principle of Judaism. And right here, in just like Derech Agav, like a million of these type of things, Kel, Elokei Horuchois, what does that mean? Derech Pshat, Yoideya Machashavos, Hashem knows what you are thinking. He's not necessarily going to hold you responsible, because the way Hashem made us is where our mind wanders, and there's nothing we can do about it most of the time. But it's a basic principle of Yadus. Ein midas l'kminas basav adam. Melch basav adam shesarach alav b'miksas medina. A melch basav adam shesarach alav b'miksas medina. Let's say you have a medina. Part of the medina, they rebel. Eino yodea mi hachayte. You don't know. The king does not know who rebelled. Lefecha kishu koyes nifra mikula. When the king finds out that there was an insurrection, there was a lack of derech eretz, so who does he punish? Well, I have no way of knowing. How am I supposed to know? All I know is that they put a banner on the bridge, making leitzonis of me. They have a very nice bridge. On the bridge, someone hung up a sign that made leitzonis of me. I don't know who did it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and punish the whole city. The whole city's going to have to suffer. I'm going to raise their taxes. I'm going to shut down. I'm not going to give them funding. I'm going to do something because all of you people are responsible. Oh, what do you mean? There's only one person who did this. That's life. When one person does something, it represents tolerance in society to a degree. And if everyone's going to have to suffer. Well, if you look at what I get saying, Abba, Ata, you Hashem, Lefanecha, Giluyos, Kol HaMachashavos, you know all people's thoughts. So therefore Moshe over here is arguing to Hashem, there's only one person over here that's making trouble. Dasan only Koirach. It's not really clear what Rashi is saying because maybe you have to really expand Rashi. Let's read the next Rashi, then we'll come back. Ho'ish echad hu achoite vi'atan yu al kol ho'ida tiksoif. Amar hakadosh baruch hu yofe amartem. Correct. Moshe said yofe. So from the end, the second Rashi is really a beor on the first Rashi. When Moshe said, "Kel Elokei Ruchos," there were many people in Klal Yisrael that joined the rebellion, but most of them rejoined the rebellion in their minds. And we know after the rebellion there was a magefa. After this rebellion, there was a magefa, okay? It says over here, I shall open up the earth. I'm jumping down over here. Okay, the earth swallowed up the 250 people. And then...
It didn't swallow up 250.
Right, those 250 were identified in the very beginning. They were identified in the very beginning, but in the aftermath, it says... Look, I'm jumping over here. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. This is in Perek Yud Zayin. Heirom mitocho eido hazois. Vachaleh esam nochmol kiroga. Nochmol, later on in the parasha. There were many people that did not openly join Korach's rebellion, but they were rooting for Korach. And they were hoping that Korach would ultimately win because they really wanted to join Korach and not follow Moshe. But those people were in secret. It was only in the mind. They didn't do anything publicly. So Moshe says, Hashem, you know the thoughts of people. Why? And those people, they're not everyone. So why should the entire society suffer? Because there are people that want to rebel. The people that openly rebel, we'll get rid of them. Koirach, he's a goner. Dasan va'avinim are goners. The 250 people that have the chutzpah to bring the Ketores, they're goners. We said the total number was really 254. Oyin Ben Pelas. He was 254. He got away with it.
Rabbi, the 250 died in the Magefa. They weren't swallowed up in the thing.
No, it says in the very beginning. Let's go back. It goes back to the parasha. The Ace Yatsa. Here it is. No, Vayerdu here. Pasuk 33. 16. Tezayin Lamed Gimel.
You look at Pasuk Lamed Hey.
Lam, right.
It says,
right, that's part of the earth opening up. I mean, okay, the earth, you're right, let's read the part, right, that's the original, but there were more. There's phase one. Phase one, the earth opened up, swallowed up Korach, and then the 250 people on the spot were killed. Then there was another magefa later, when the people saw what happened to Korach, and the 250 people, instead of doing teshuvah, they said, Moshe, how dare you? Moshe, you're a murderer. You caused the earth to open up and kill these 250 people in Korach. they were even more rebellious. So then there was a Mageif, and the more people were killed. That was phase two. But over here later on, Vayhi kechaloi kechaloi, so l'dabra kol yomayla, vayitavati boka, ho'adam ha'asher, the earth opened up. Vayitavar hespia, vayitavla yisam yas botayim, who's they? It sounds like Dosan v'Aviram. The Eis kol yomayla, then comes Korach. It sounds like it was Dosan v'Aviram first, then Korach, and then... And the same event, Vayerdu Hevuchal Shalchem Shalom VeLachatam Vayudu Micholol VeChol Yisrael Asher Tzvivoy Seyam Nosu Lekalim Begiyam Kulam VeEish Yatsa. They all started running. Meis Hashem VeTaychal Eis. Then 250 people were burnt. So there was Dosan VaAvidam and Korach. The earth opened up and swallowed, and immediately the 250 people with the Ketores, they were burnt from Eish Ben Hashemai. Then you go further. What happens? Then the people, Vayiloinu, next parak, Vayiloinu, you would think that they saw a miracle happen, the earth open up and swallow them up, and a fire come out of heaven and burn the 250 people, so you would think all the people that were rooting for Korach would do teshuvah. No, Vayiloinu, they complain, Kol Adas B'nei Sholim Mochras, the next morning, Al Moshe V'Yalan Lemar, Atem Hamitem Es Am Hashem, you're a murderer. So what happened? Moshe goes to Hashem, and Hashem says, get away from these people. I'm going to finish them off. That's phase two. Okay, we're not up to yet. Let's go back over here. So this is the Machshava. Moshe says, you want to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael? Not fair. Just since you, Hashem, are Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar, which Rashi teaches al derech pshat, Elokei HaRuchos means thought. A Machshava is called a ruach. That's a very important translation. It's a very important translation to appreciate the word ruach. Rashi explicitly says, Elokei haruchos l'chol basar. Every basar v'dam has a mind. And the mind that's floating around in its head in a way that we do not know, called a thought. And that thought cannot be defined in any by science.
Try calling your wife a ruach. See what happens.
Cannot be defined by Rav Kefir to say, you know, my wife. He said, if my wife calls me a chamo, calls me a donkey. Says, Aaron, you're a donkey. So he says, he know what happened. Wow, it's so romantic. I'm a donkey. A donkey is a very pretty animal. My wife is romantic. She called me a donkey. How nice. When my wife says, Aaron, you're a chamor, oh, this is a declaration of war. You have the same exact word, and the way the language you say the word, it can mean something entirely different. Going back, over here we have over here Rashi. Rashi is a very powerful Rashi, that the word Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar means a machashava. Okay? Where's the place over here? I lost the place for a moment over here. We're not going too far over here. Yeah, here it is. Okay, Pasuk 22. It means a machashava. A machashava that floats around in the person's body, in the basar. Between the basar and science cannot, under any condition, identify this machashava. It's something that's spiritual. And yet Hashem knows it. Hashem knows this machshava, and therefore Moshe's argument is, being that you, Hashem, know the machshava of man, you can identify who the perpetrators are, and there's no need for collateral damage for other people who are innocent to be punished. Hashem says to Moshe, you are correct. Let's look at the Targum on this pasuk. Unifalu al apoyon, they fell on their face, Moshe v'Aaron, v'amaru, and they said, Kel, God, Mighty God, Eloka, a God, Ruchaya, see, L'chol Bisra. Unkelis, he's so clever, he outdid himself, because it's very unsatisfying. It's very unsatisfying when Unkelis does this. Because this is a term which really needs hesber. It needs a handle. Rashi did us a very big favor. Rashi says something very beautiful. It means you know man's thoughts. That's a tremendous chiddush in religion. Go analyze all religions of the world and ask these people, look at their theology. Does your God know what you're thinking? I'm willing to bet that most religions in this world will tell you no. You're independent. You're independent of the God knowing what you're thinking. In Judaism, that's not true. Hashem knows, and it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Elokei haruchois l'chol basar. And you would hope that Unkelus, with a nuance of language, which he's very good at, and he's very generous in deviating from the script, he would give you some beor, some translation, elucidation, with regard to this difficult term. And he doesn't! Mr. Rapport, are you disappointed?
But he doesn't tell me what
Elokei Ruchos means. Yes, yes. He says Elokei Ruchaya.
I accept what Rashi says. Edeim on Shabbos.
I know, but don't you want to hear what the Targum has to say? What did they do for 1,000 years? Rashi came over 1,000 years from Targum Unkelus. What did they do for 1,000 years? And Unkelus just basically said what it said at Sinai, which was going back another 1,000 years. So what Unkelus doesn't give us any bear. L'chol bisra gavrechat, one person, yichoyv is guilty. V'al kol kinishta ya yehei ruza. You're going to be angry at the entire assembly. V'ayidav Rashi al-Moshe lemar. Basically, according to Rashi, Hashem says to Moshe, you're right. How could that be? How could Moshe be right? Hashem doesn't know what he's doing. And this is the old question. So is it the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted Moshe, he was setting up Moshe? And there's a lot of theology here. That Hashem is always right. Tzur Tomim Paolo. So how could man overpower Hashem? Okay, that's part of Yadus, the koyach to overcome Hashem. Dabar lo Eidah, speak to the assembly, lemo hey, olu misaviv, ascend, mis from the surrounding area, l'mishkan, the dwelling, Koirach, Dosan, Va'avim. There are three people in this story. The truth is, you look at the story very carefully. You know, and the truth is...
Is this Moshe's response in Pasuk Chofesh? Is that a form of tefillah that Hashem is retracting what he said? In other words, just like with the ego, Salati Kivarach, Moshe made a whole plea, right?
Zlach Kivarach is by the Meraglim. Salach
the
Rebbe
by the
Meraglim.
No,
that's what it says. It's Salach the Rebbe by the Meraglim.
Yeah. Okay. So, what is this here?
By the Eagle, it says Vayinochem Hashem al Horo Asher Dibur Lasais Lamo. You're asking, you're making a very important point. What is Hashem's response? By the Eagle, the response is Vayinochem Hashem al Horo Asher Dibur Lamo. It does not say anywhere that Hashem said, "I forgive you." All it says is, okay, there'll be a change of plan. There's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. Vayinochem Hashem. Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem, please forgive us. Moshe begs, begs and begs and begs. But what is Hashem's response? Vayichahal Moshe, espinei Hashem alokavayyohimer. No, those words are said in last week's parasha about the Meraglim.
Yeah.
That's not the Egel.
By the
Meraglim. No, the Egel, there is no Salach L'Kid Varecha. There's no Salach L'Kid Varecha by the Egel. I'm sorry. Salach L'Kid Varecha is in response to Moshe's argument by the Meraglim. Last week's parasha. There is no response from Hashem in the aftermath of the Egel. By Chal Moshe. What?
No, but you asked the question. How did Hashem not know in advance? Maybe Hashem, and I'm saying that maybe it says that Elokei Ruchos Chol Basar. This is like a form of tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting to Kodesh Baruch. What are they telling him? If you say Hashem knows everything, so what a shock. Moshe, what are you telling me here? I know this. I know who the sinner was. But it says, the last part especially, Ish Echon Yechta, is a form of tefillah, a prayer. Look, Hashem. And Hashem retracts, right? Because you see in the next pasuk, he doesn't tell him, I'm going to wipe the whole He says, get away. He says to the Eda, get out of there. I'm only going to destroy these three guys.
So that's not forgiveness. Moshe is just demanding justice. Moshe here, and face value on a very simple level, is just saying to Hashem, I'm not asking for forgiveness. These people are wicked. Get rid of them. But just because they're wicked, it's not fair. It's not mishpat to punish innocent people. It's not. Moshe is not asking for forgiveness. Hashem, you're treating us like the way a melech bosar v'dam treats his medina. You have a melech bosar v'dam, and there's a medina that does something that's not proper. The melech doesn't have the resources to identify exactly who was involved in this story. So it's derech ha'olam to go and wipe out the whole medina. So Moshe says, Hashem, you're not a melech bosar v'dam. You are the Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. You know the Machshavas. You can pinpoint with the most precise precision who is guilty and who is not guilty. So it's not mishpat to go and punish people that are innocent. Moshe nowhere here, at least according to the very simple level of the Pasuk, is asking for forgiveness. Hashem, you're right.
I'm not saying he's asking for forgiveness.
He's asking for mishpat. Justice.
I don't know if he's asking that, he's asking for correct judgment. Correct
justice.
Justice. But that's a form of tefillah also.
Okay, fine. It can, tefillah is a very broad term. Okay? Hashem obviously had other plans in mind. His plan was, no, everyone's going to be punished. Everyone's going to be punished. Oil Rasha, oil Shechinai. You can't ignore it. It's the same old story. It's tolerance. The Egel, there were 3,000 people. Yeah, the whole Klal Yisrael suffers. Why? Because people were rooting for them in their mind. Deep, deep down in the subconscious mind, they were rooting for them. You know, I'll end with this var. I heard, Shlomo HaMelech. Hashem says to Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo, what do you want? You could have Chochma. You could have Oysher, rich, wealth. Or you could have, what was the other one? Children? What is Efkarid? You gave him a choice. You have a choice. You could have Chochmah, or you could have wealth, or you could have, I'm forgetting everything. So what did Shlomo HaMelech answer? I want Chochmah. Oh, wow. Unbelievable, he won Chochmah. You know what? You can get everything. Because you didn't ask for Narishkeit, I'm going to give you everything. So I saw in the Chosh of a Sefer, what's the big deal? Any thinking person, if you come to them, if Hashem would come and say to them, what would you like? Money? Would you like, I don't remember, you remember the third choice? I don't remember the third choice. Was it children? Bonim? I don't remember the third choice. Or you want Chochmas Hashem? Any smart person would say Chochmah. Because if you have Chochmah, you have everything. If you're smart, you'll know how to make money. If you're smart, you'll know how to maneuver, have a Chashra family. What's the big deal? Why is Shlomo HaMelech is praised? So this is really tongue-in-cheek. It's because when did Hashem come to Shlomo HaMelech? In a dream. Even in your dream, you're dreaming about Chochmah. Many Rosh Yeshivas, when they give shiur, and when they go home, they go to sleep, what do they dream about? Money and covet. The Torah is when I'm awake. When I'm awake, we talk Torah. Torah, Torah, Torah. But when I go to sleep and my subconscious takes over, what do I think about? Covenant, money, power. Shlomo HaMelech, even in his dreams, he was thinking about Chochmah. So Shlomo HaMelech is the real deal. Hashem met him in the middle of the night, came to him in his dreams. It's a little bit of a joke, but it's not a joke because you know, the Freudian slip. Okay, when the person is in this unconscious state, what does he really think about? What really does he value? What's really in the panemius? It takes a lifetime to come to, you know, to, it should seep into your panemius what you really care about. Okay, so Moshe over here is saying that there's no mishpat. That's Rashi. Let's finish up over here. And Hashem said to him, that was his argument. Hashem says, you're right. Tell him to get away. Rashi said over there, Kitarguvai, Histalku Misivas Mishkana Karach, separate from Karach. Targum, Malilum Kinishalamimar, tell the people saying, Istalaku, get lost, get out of here, go away, far away. Misachar Sachar, he always does this. A classic Targum, whenever he says the word Saviv, he translates this one word with two words, Sachar Sachar, all around. Lemashkina de Karach Dasan Vaviram. I find the word Lemishkan is a very unusual word. So the oil, the tent of Korach. You know what the answer is? Korach didn't have a tent. Korach had a base medrash. Korach was a real clever, shrewd guy. He didn't have a tent. He had a base medrash. The Mishkan, get out of this yeshiva. This yeshiva is poison. The yeshiva of Korach. They have coffee and cake. And they have nice gemaras, clean floors, the best shiurim. But the place is poison. Poison. They don't teach derech eretz. They teach you how to participate in an insurrection. That's the curriculum. The curriculum. It's Korach Privilege Center. Okay, Rabbi, so I have a nice good night. Thank you for coming. Blazer, good night. Thank you for coming. Mr. Landlord, Heshi, thank you for coming. And Maya, Yeshu Koyach.
We have Shir tomorrow night.
Mir to Shem.
I gave it to you because I thought you're doing Rashi. You do it.
I'm so tired. What do you think? I know what I'm doing. I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore.
Yeah, we have Shir tomorrow night.
And Mir to Shem, Animamin. Tomorrow we do the Animamin number two. We're up to number two. Number two, second Animamin. The four, we compare the four different places of Animam, the Svardish version.
I found all the Rambam's Animamas at the end of Chelik. At the Sanhedrin.
Chelik, in the Parish HaMishnais of Chelik.
It's in the Gemara. I found it in the Gemara.
Yeah? The Gemara has the Parish HaMishnais. The Gemara at the back of the Gemara has the Parish HaMishnais.
Right.
So in Chelik, in the Parish HaMishnais, that's where it comes from. That's where, and the Parish Chelik, in the Sefer Sanhedrin. That's where it is. And then you have also in the Siddur, the Animam. No one knows who wrote that. No one knows who wrote that in the Siddur. And then you have also Yigdal. And then you have another version that the Sephardim, they have in their Siddur, which is a very, very short version. The Sephardim, they take possession of the Rambam. The Rambam was a Sephardi. The Sephardim, they are...
They say it without saying Animam each one. They just go one after another, all the Klala.
It's 1, 2, 3. Like it's very short. It's very short. It's teeny. It's teeny.
Right.
We do it tomorrow. We did it last. You weren't here. You were not here last time we did. We did 2 weeks ago.
I don't think I'll be here tomorrow. Also, I have to go somewhere.
All right.
I don't know if I'll bring Tamari tomorrow. She may be going today.
Okay. I was amazing. You said they saw that. Unbelievable. 33.
Yeah. Where were you looking? You were looking in
Devarim? Yeah, the pasuk that I was referring to is exactly what she said. Exactly.
Yeah, I thought the pasuk was in Bereishis.
There's another pasuk there that's similar, but it's not what we're referring to. Moshe, Yadav Rav Loi. The Eza Mitzrav Tia, that's the pasuk we're running to. And
well,
she,
well.
It's amazing, it's spooky.
Told her pasuk and she told you it says Bechosim Chazkan or...
Yes, and also unbelievable. It's not normal. Unbelievable. I told you, there's no Rosh Hashanah that can do this. How do you explain this? You can say because
Rabbi Yaakov would come and ask you that he could do it.
No, he couldn't. Who's
the thing? You know, once I heard an article about the Chayzrim for the Babich.
Yeah.
They said they don't know what the Rebbe said. They just memorized his words.
No, I read the same article as you.
The whole thing is they memorized his tone and his hand motions and what he said, but they didn't have time to think what the pshat was.
The depth of what he was saying.
Otherwise, if you think the pshat, you're already saying your own interpretation.
Well, they gave it to him. They wrote it up and they gave it to him. He edited it.
Right, but when they memorized, you know, it's like you hear someone saying 4 months or something, you don't think about what he's saying.
No, it can't be. It can't be. They don't understand
what
he said.
That's what they said. This was
all right. Okay. All right. I don't know. They wrote
they
the
another thing.
Yeah.
They just saw. I saw this Matzah Shabbos. That when the Rebbe wrote something.
Yeah.
You couldn't paraphrase it because if you paraphrase it, it was a different thing. It was
right.
A own combination. Because there was a guy once the Rebbe wrote something, and.